Attention wrestlers and promoters down under. Do you want quality merchandise? Do you need a new poster or logo? South Australia's WrestleMerch Printing is here for you. With a decade in the graphic design business, their clients, just to name a few, include TMDK, Chris Basso, The Millennials, Damian Slater, Kellyanne, Jimmy Havoc, and promotions such as EPW Perth and Hunter Valley Wrestling. Oh, and they took care of us here at Wrestle Radio Australia too. WrestleMerch will design your artwork and screen print it on premium AS colour tees one by one to ensure precision and quality. If you already have artwork, just bring it on over and they can work with that too. Once it's all done, pick it up from their Adelaide office, or if you're NBT in SA, have them sent to your door. Postage charges do apply. To take advantage of their friendly, collaborative, world-class service, send a message to the WrestleMerch Printing Facebook page and be sure to mention you heard all about it on Wrestle Radio Australia. Yes, it's a new Axe cast. My name is Josh Armour. Don't worry, Josh Shooter is here with a rad chat he had this weekend just gone with Hayden Zenith, one of the stars of EPW Perth. And straight off the bat, if you want to get great coverage on EPW Perth, all things happening in the West pro wrestling wise, you got to hit up these guys. They're joining me at the moment. Finally, we're doing some type of crossover, cross promotion here. This is good. Beej and Craig at Drawing Heat podcast. Hello, dudes.
Hello, Josh. How are you today?
Fantastic. Not as maybe a bit better than you guys are at the moment with your debacle of a bad KFC, but yes, it's just tradition here at Wrestle Radio Australia Network. We got to talk about food at some point.
It was only a moderate debacle.
Just moderate, yeah. So
moderately debacle.
If you don't have a voucher these days, KFC can be bloody. It can be a bit pricey, especially if you get a shit meal. You know, it's like, geez. Yeah,
but it was entertaining though, Josh. There was a lady behind us. She got served, and she said, "I've been waiting a long time. Am I going to get service?" And the young fella's like, "Yep, I'm sorry. I'm here now. What can I get you?" And she's like, "Well, how long do I have to wait for the food? I'm in a right hurry." And she looked at him, and then she ran off.
There you go.
Just walked out.
Just bolted.
It was one of those had-to-be-there things because we laughed quite a lot at it.
Yeah. Only because we just got our food and we were on our way out.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, yeah, thanks for having us, taking the time to have a quick chat with us here, Josh. We really do appreciate it. Like you said, it's been a while since we've been trying to hook something up here, and we finally got the gear so that we can make it happen on our show, and you've got the gear so we can make it happen on your show. So it's all good, finally.
I know, right? It's all for all the shows around us at the moment. It's starting to come together for us, you know what I mean? As far as, like, we've all had those trial periods of, like, using different equipment or trialing different methods of just doing the show, really, different, like, you know, the format and whatnot, and you kind of find that sweet spot as a podcaster. And even the wrestlers, you know, they experience it, you know, whether it's tinkering with their character or, like, the style that works for them, you know, the most, and what can get them bookings. And then, you know, after a while, it all starts to come together. So, and you guys, I really appreciate the fact that you guys helped Shooter out in recording this episode of Axecast. Okay, I'm like, is it Drawing Heat? Is it Wrestling Radio Australia? Is it Axecast? What show are we actually introducing here? But yeah,
all of the above.
Thank you very much for helping him out. And, like, you guys have seen Hayden Zenith, you know, quite a fair bit, obviously, over there in EP Dub. I haven't seen
him. Yeah, we know Hayden pretty well.
I haven't seen him in person yet. But what's some, I guess, matches or memories that stand out for you guys as far as, yeah, Hayden Zenith and what he's been doing over there?
Well, we really do like the work he's doing with the Don Michael Morleone at the moment as Gen Zero. Yeah. They had a good run. They didn't have that big a run as tag champs earlier this year.
No, a couple of months.
But yeah, no, they're a really solid tag team. Don is one of the most underrated heels in Australia, and he's just brought Hayden up to another level. But I think it was a couple of months ago, Hayden had a match with young Logan Gray over here, and just two high flyers, and they just turned it up a notch.
Yeah, there's two levels of quick. There's really quick, and then there's Hayden Zenith.
Yeah. Right.
Hayden Zenith is sudden. He's quicker than a hiccup, as JR used to say.
And
very quick.
How was the show over the weekend, guys? Obviously, you got on your show, Drawing Heat. You're about to fire up the mics and record your own new episode. But what's a little quick synopsis here for those of us over in the east and the south of the show? You just said it was Hell or High Water. Is that the name of the show? Or am I way off?
Yes, that Hell or High Water was the name of the show.
Right.
In my opinion, probably one of the best shows that they've had all year, up there with Evolution from a couple of months ago. So, yeah, definitely want to check out on Vimeo when it comes out, as soon as Vimeo editor Giles O'Brien comes back from SummerSlam.
Yeah, so seen his mug on the telly the last few days. And I don't know about you guys, but just quickly read the WWE Network. I've seen a little bit of SummerSlam. I haven't seen the whole show yet. And NXT the other day, I loved it. And I was actually really digging it because the missus was even sitting there watching wrestling with me. I'm like, this is great. But there was
glorious, John.
I have glorious, which actually I was like fanboying out at that entrance to the point where Susie's like, do I need to leave you alone for a minute? Do I need to leave the room kind of thing? And
NXT was that bad. NXT was that bad. I was fanboying out with No Way Jose came out.
Oh, isn't he fun? At first, the first time I saw No Way Jose and heard the name, I'm like, there's no fucking way. And now I'm so into it, like I was with Adam Rose, you know, like I was really into that.
Yeah. I mean, I caught my young fella dancing in the backseat of the car to No Way Jose's theme music the other day, just sort of singing it to himself. It's great. But yeah, I mean, Nakamura's entrance, that gave me goosebumps. That was incredible.
Oh, wasn't that good? So good with the live violinist.
The only thing that would have made it better would be if it was Matt Hardy playing the violin.
I knew you'd come, Nakamura. Oh, man. Far out. Well, just quickly back on Bobby Roode. The missus basically heard description, because she sort of remembered him from when I used to watch TNA years ago and that, but her main description of Bobby Roode was, he looks like, and with the music as well, being very like Vegas show kind of sounding, she's like, he looks like a male stripper whose costume is Ric Flair's.
Yeah.
And that's his gimmick. His stripper gimmick is his Ric Flair. I loved it.
Isn't that Ric Flair's gimmick as well?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
I'm Ric Flair. I'm taking my pants off now.
Isn't there
Bobby Roode didn't elbow drop his robe.
Oh, but we had like the worst experience with the network, and a lot of the time it happens when it's a live show, if you're just watching it a few hours after it's actually happened, where every 5 or 10 minutes it will all of a sudden just rewind. Like it would just all of a sudden go backwards about 10 seconds or 30 seconds, and it was getting to the point where I was just about to throw my hands up and go, fuck this. Like I was, you know, I don't know if you guys get that, but
on the
PS3
app. Are you watching on PlayStation by any chance?
PS3, yeah.
Yes.
He used to do that for me every time.
Really?
We both had the same problem. That's why we switched over to Xbox One.
Here we go. Now we're going to hear all about fucking Xbox. Oh, God. That's a never-ending battle uphill if you're a PlayStation owner.
Speaking of heels, I've got a bone to pick with you, too.
Oh, shit. Here we go. Look out.
I found out the other day you don't like Fozzy, the greatest rock band of all time.
Look, I just don't see the... There's a few songs that are like okay. Like there's a riff that's okay, or Jericho's voice in it sounds okay. But
that's not saying Prince was an okay bugle player or something.
He probably could play the fucking bugle too. It wouldn't surprise me.
Words.
In the vault somewhere, there's Prince on the bugle. You know it. It's there somewhere. Find that demo, Kirky J. Put that shit out on a bootleg. Oh, man.
It's tucked in there somewhere.
But yeah, no, the NXT show. The NXT show, that was rad. Yeah, that was cool. And then what do you think quickly of this finish at SummerSlam?
of the Brock and Orton finish.
Yeah.
Well, I was watching it live yesterday morning with my friend who doesn't like wrestling. She's never really been into it, but by the end of it, she was actually yelling at the TV at Brock.
Wow.
Look, at the end of the, you know, apparently that the planned finish all along, from what I understand, was going to be that the match was meant to be stopped because Randy supposedly couldn't go on. I don't think that the blood was an intended part of it, but it sounds like they just said, okay, just stick to the script.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here, because I'm guessing the script called for Brock to keep going at Randy after the match had been stopped. I don't know. It was a lot of blood. I think Brock Lesnar definitely should be basically called up on this. You know, it's not the first time that his opponents have been busted open the hard way, because, I mean, Brock is a fighter. And clearly he's not always, you know, pulling his punches. So to speak.
It's interesting to see, because there's all this scuttlebutt around today over the internet about this happened backstage and that happened and Jericho had a go at Brock and blah, all this. So we'll see what's actually, I think we'll be able to tell what, like, the motivation was behind it, whether it was legit or whether it was a work. If it's a work, then it's a pretty fucking, I mean, that's a pretty gruesome way to, you know what I mean? You used to guys blading and whatnot, but Jesus Christ, like, that's a bit extreme. I know they did it with Cena once, the same thing with Lesnar, but
that's the thing. The finish, I think, yes, the finish was meant to be a work. The blood, I don't know. I mean, we know what Vince has felt about blood for a long time now.
True.
So,
well, I think it kind of gets boiled down to a simple fact. Brock Lesnar is an asshole who feels like he can do what he wants when he wants.
He's a bully. Is that what you're getting at?
Pretty much.
Hmm.
I love it, just quietly. But that's me. That's me. So your podcast, go on quickly with SummerSlam, yeah.
I was just going to say, Brock needs to be basically put in check here, you know, about his hard hitting and the fact that WWE have just completely skirted over his drug
tests. Positive test.
Yeah, his positive tests, which really, you know, the whole thing, he's a part-timer, they don't apply, fuck off. They bloody well should apply to him, especially if he's a meathead like this, just busting open, you know, whether he's a draw or not, doesn't matter.
And that whole Suplex City thing's getting stale.
Yeah.
They didn't seem to have the... They didn't seem to have
so much better than Suplex City.
Well, they didn't seem to have the luster that the Suplexes usually have. I don't know if it was just me or if Brock was getting tired, which does happen, you know, guy's size, but...
Yeah, he was taking it easy on Randy Orton.
Yeah,
suplex wise, because Orton had a bad shoulder and bad neck type of situation, so he was kind of not snapping them as much as he would have done for someone else.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say, if that was the planned finish for it to be a TKO or whatever you want to call it, stupid way to end the pay per view. That match shouldn't have gone on last. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, SummerSlam, it's the big four shows. They're always controversial lately. There's always something that happens on one of these shows that leaves people talking. So anyway, at least their social media numbers are up. Their ratings might be down the toilet at the moment, but at least their social, at least the tweets are up. Yay! That's what
people
doesn't
are
matter
about them.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So drawing heat, you guys are all over the wrestling over there in the West, especially EPW Perth, and getting a lot of the wrestlers on the show, reviewing the shows, which I must say, you guys have got more balls than I do, because I reviewed a local show one time, and then I sort of listened back to it a couple months later, and I was like, wow, I don't know, like, how people are going to take this, you know what I mean? We're used to hearing the reviews of, you know, SummerSlam, for instance, like we were just bloody talking about it there and questioning the booking, but it's different when you know the folks involved, when you, especially for myself, when you're involved, you really don't want to piss people off, and at the same time, you want to kind of give a bit of leeway as far as the indies sort of go, but you guys really are able to put out the reviews that are entertaining and puts you, you know, sort of gives you an idea of what the show was really like. At the same time, there's that those little criticisms, because as fans, you have a right to an opinion in the way that you're paying your money, and you have an idea of what fellow fans may want as well. And sometimes that criticism can actually be quite helpful, I think, to the wrestlers, to the people involved, that they can actually get a perspective of someone's thoughts of the show, besides the odd pop here and there, or actually coming back, because people may leave after two or three shows and then, okay, what is the reason people aren't coming back? And so you can give a bit of perspective from a fan's point of view on the show. So that's what's really good about your podcast in that way. But what have you got coming up on Drawing Heat?
Well, at what show did you say? Hey.
At Hell High Water.
Sorry, thank you. Hell High Water, we actually had the chance to sit down with Alex AK-47 Kingston.
Yep.
We spoke to him for quite a bit, and also then we pulled in Jag Hartley Jackson for a sit down. So that was quite eye opening as well.
Very lucky, I must say, to get the time of Jag. He's very selective, you know, in what he does and that sort of thing. So
yeah, that was probably the hardest. Request for a podcast I've ever sent out by a Facebook messenger. I was thinking he's either going to say no or he's going to say yes and then pile drive me later on.
But I mean, we've got a fairly decent list of people who we want to get on the show. You know, the one at the top of our list was always Jag, so we've crossed that one off.
Cool.
But the good bit is, because we do have a really good relationship with a lot of the people at EPW and some of the other smaller promotions in Perth as well, that it's pretty much a point of, I mean, even in some cases, guys have come up to ask to say, hey, when can we be on the show? So that's always good, and it just means that we add to the list. It's like, yeah, when we get through the list, we'll get to you.
Yeah. When in doubt, we'll just give Juicy a call.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Apparently, there's already part two and three of Mr. Juicy lined up for the next couple of times he's over here. So
fantastic.
But yeah, I mean, we've got guys like Marcus Pitt over here who we know that we could just call him in a heartbeat and just say, got a spare hour, come sit down with us, and we know we can get something good out of it because we have a good relationship with them. And that's part of what helps us be able to do the reviews that we do for their shows, because, you know, the first reason why we started wanting to review them is because they actually did say to us after shows, what did you think? They value our opinion, not just as fans, but as fans who understand the business.
Well, not as Chris Weiss said, we're not dumb cunts.
Yeah, that way.
Yeah.
Can we say that in this one?
Oh, don't no. Go for it. Jeez. There's no bloody... Hey, we had Marcus Pitt here on the network. Do you think we have restrictions on language? Come on, jeez. That's... Wow.
No.
No way.
And I've been biting my fucking tongue this entire time. That's the thing, yeah. Because we got the impression that they felt open about wanting to hear our thoughts, so we thought, we'll give it to them. And that's the thing, in some of our shows, we have been, we've been constructively critical about parts of the show that we feel that needed to be fixed up, and not just by the performers, but by the audience as well.
That's where we haven't held back with the fans.
Oh, we haven't held back on the fans at all.
I know, you seem quite disappointed sometimes at the lack of audience participation when the guys and girls are busting their necks. I've seen and heard, yes.
It probably doesn't help that the EPW crew acknowledge the fact that we're pretty much the loudest people in the crowd on any given day to begin with anyway. But, yeah, I mean, and that's why, you know, we've developed a really good relationship with them that's helped us to build Drawing Heat to, from, you know, we've just passed the 1 year mark and we never thought we'd get to this point at all.
Yep.
So, yeah.
But it is a fine line between critiquing and pissing your friends off.
Yeah.
And shitting on something. There's a big difference there, absolutely. I totally hear you, yeah.
Because you're not going to like everything. I think everything's the best you've ever seen, but at the same time, you don't want to disappoint the dudes who are going, so what do you think? What do you think?
Yep.
Yeah, I will say that is one of the hard bits when, you know, there's guys that you know, we know you're with Riot City as well. there's guys, you know, you're really good friends with them, but when they've had a match that really didn't live up to your expectation, sometimes it is hard to them to say, I didn't like it, you know? So that's the thing, you got to find that balance between work and friendship there.
But a lot of workers these days, and a lot more I find, do go out of their way to ask, like myself, the commentator who's been sitting there watching the show all night, the ebb and flow of things, feeling the crowd from start to finish, all of this stuff, they can come to me and say, what did you think? Or, you know, what did you think of the promo, you know? Or what did you think of this? And that's like, that actually is quite flattering when somebody, you know, comes up to someone like me who's not a wrestler but is still observing everything and asks my honest opinion on stuff, you know what I mean? And like the other night, there we had, you know, a show at the Academy with a lot of the younger guys and girls, and a couple of people having their first matches, and just the, like, it was so cool when they asked, like, what did you think, you know? I was like, I love this and I love this. I was like, this is so cool that this young talent is so, they're so eager, they're so keen, and they're so switched on in there. And it all comes down to the training. And over there, you've got the EPW Perth, you know, training academy kind of thing. That's the place to go over there.
Factory, yeah.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And I was like, I can't really find anything negative tonight. I don't know if I can, like, it's all positive, you know. So.
And like you say, with the first, you know, the first timers, that thing, that there's a couple over here like Taylor King, Bodie McKenzie, what's some Alison Cruz, Blair Brady, where we've been seeing them from, I think like they're maybe their first or second match, I think, is from when we've been seeing them. So we've actually had a chance to see them grow and have a chance to actually say to them, you know, this is what you've been getting better at, you know, you keep working at this. And that's good, because it sort of helps us sort of feel like a part of, you know, seeing them grow. It's like seeing your kids grow up.
Yeah, it is kind of off-putting, though, when you're hanging out with Taylor King and you realise I'm old enough to be his dad.
Hey, how was that, the three-way match you guys had over there over the weekend, and Logan Gray jumping off of the basketball hoop onto Marcus Pitt, and it was Marcus Pitt and Davis Storm, yeah?
And Davis Storm. Yep. That was fucking insane. Yeah,
that's actually a funny story, because the show previous, Alex Kingston was walking around before the show looking for things to jump off. And I actually mentioned to him, how about jumping off the back of the rim? And he says, no, I can't get up there. So he goes, I'd need a ladder, you see.
So Logan got a ladder.
So fast forward to this week, Logan Gray grabbed himself a ladder and jumped off the fucking ring.
Just conveniently, there's a ladder positioned behind this backboard. Oh, look at that.
They always need one in a bar area, you know.
Yeah. But, that match was incredible, especially when they had a four-way ladder match with Damon Slater, Jag, Alex Kingston, and Chris Weiss. They had to follow that.
They kicked its ass.
They kicked its ass, yeah.
We've covered Hell or High Water enough here. I think we tease the folk here that are listening to the Axecast and entice them to listen to Drawing Heat with Beej and the Dude, and tell the folks where they can hear Drawing Heat, all of that promotional shit, basically.
They can hear it on their headphones, in their car stereos, on their computers.
Funny that.
You can find us on the Facebooks, just search for Drawing Heat Podcast, I think is what we're called on there. We post the links to our shows on there, on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, all those places. We've got a YouTube channel as well where we post highlights of the EPW shows that we've been to, that we've taken.
Yeah.
Just to get a taste of what you'll get when it comes out on Vimeo, normally 2 to 3 weeks after the show. iTunes, you can find us on there. Drawingheat.podomatic.com is our, what's the word I'm looking for?
Podomatic
host site, so to speak.
The podcast blog page, yes.
If you go to Facebook, that's where we do all of our interaction with our listeners, videos, posts, and everything. So, yeah, Drawing Heat Podcast on Facebook.
Yes, and if you search into the gallery there on the Facebook page, Facts of Vice, very cool social media little segments, I guess, that you guys had in visual form in the gallery there. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, that WWE stole from me last week.
Yeah, did you notice that? They've used the whole facts of vice idea for the return of Kurt Hawkins.
I'm sure it was where they got the idea. It had to have been from the Drawing Heat podcast. Had to have been.
How dare they bastardize my idea of bastardizing Chuck Norris?
Any excuse for a Chuck Norris reference? Hell yeah. Well, just quickly before I let you go, guys, I will rattle off the dates for Josh Shooter. This is where you can see the acts in action in the coming weeks. We have September 2nd at Platinum Wrestling Enterprises in Victoria, September 9th at Outback Championship Wrestling, also in Victoria, September 10th, Melbourne City Wrestling, September 16th, Lucha Libre Australia, presented by Melbourne City Wrestling, and October 1st, Platinum Wrestling Enterprises. You can see the acts in action, and he will kill me if I do not mention prowrestlingtees.com/acts. That is where you can get merchandise. Whoop, as I nearly drop the phone and completely destroy this intro. Yes, prowrestlingtees.com/acts. That is where you can get your merch. And guys, thank you very much for joining me here at the top of the Axe cast, as Shooter hates recording these intros. So here I am. This is my gig now. See, Wrestle Radio Australia, I'm opening the Axe cast. Man, it's the hardest working man in pro wrestling podcasting in Australia today. Josh Armour, folks. But you guys, I must say, are really churning out some great stuff. And it's awesome to have people like yourselves. And I did a little Facebook post today and got a bit sentimental about it. But guys like you, D&T podcast over there in Victoria. It's just really rad that, you know, there's so many good people getting behind what all the guys and girls are doing out there in the ring. And I reckon it's bloody about time the Aussie wrestling, sorry, independent wrestling in Australia gets its due. That's what it's all about, really.
Yeah.
Yes, damn time.
Very cool. All right, I'm going to let you guys go and record the latest installment of Drawing Heat. Thank you, Beej. Thank you, Craig. And we'll catch you on the flip side. Maybe I'll be able to guest on your show one day. We might do a flipsy.
Yes. We have some new equipment, so we can actually make that happen now.
Flip the script. Awesome. Love it. All right, guys, you take care. Oh. Have a good one.
And Senior Josh.
And here is Josh the Axe Shooter with Hayden Zenith. It's a great chat, and Hayden's a rad storyteller, and there's a few laughs in here, so enjoy. And until next time, we'll catch you around. Oh, and subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Share it around, the podcast. You know that's what we want. It's what we love. It's what we need. All right, peace out.
It's all love.
Pod love.
Hayden Zenith, H-Dog, Z-Master.
Yeah.
What have you been called in the past?
Pretty much always been Hayden Zenith, but I've always had like silly names.
Have you had any shitty names?
No, probably had some shitty ideas. At one point, I was going to go with Junior Angelus.
Why?
Like, fuck, that didn't happen. Hey, I don't know, man. I liked Buffy when I was a kid, and Angel from Buffy's name was Angelus. He was cool.
Was that with the white spiky hair?
No, that was Spike.
That was Spike
would have been cool as well. That was cool, yeah. But, yeah. Pretty horrendous.
So it's been a while since I had another wrestler on the Axe cast. I mean, the last episode I had Michael Tamora, and Mike's a boxing manager. Before that, I had professional wrestling managers and bookers and people of all different sorts and shapes and sizes. But Dowie James and Muhammad Ali Vaez was the last one. So you're breaking the streak in this sense. And it's one of the biggest rising stars in WA. Or you can't even say rising star anymore. You've risen, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I am a star, aren't I? You know?
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, I used to be the rising star Hayden Zenith.
And then you rose.
Then I rose. Now I'm the one.
Yeah, the one. Yeah, are the one star.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Beautiful. It just flows. I mean, where'd you start in that sense?
Well, initially, when I first started wrestling or training.
From my memory, it wasn't EPW, was it?
No, that is correct. So when I first started training back in the day, I was started at All Action Wrestling. And, you know, it was what it was. I rocked up to training a few times, and no one really ever was there to, you know, partake in training.
Any names at the training that I'd know or anyone might know that's still around? Because from my training days, the only person that's still around is Tass, and that's on a very unregular basis.
One wrestler who's still around, but he wasn't in the trainings that I was at, but he's wrestling at EPW now, is Dave Nero.
Oh, Dave Nero. I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's really, really good. I think he's probably one of the most underrated, unknown wrestlers, like, especially in WA, but he's, like, he's phenomenal.
What makes him underrated?
I guess he's just flown under the radar for so long because...
I've only heard of him through New Horizons Pro Wrestling.
Correct, yeah. So he started off at AEW, like, and then he moved on to Schwa, and then he took time off, and, you know, he's kind of been in and out of wrestling, but he's been back for a few years now, and he's, like, I rate him really, really high. Yeah, it'd be good to see him, like, you know, getting a bit more of the spotlight. It's great that he's here at EPW now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he's going to travel more than just Western Australia, or...?
I hope so. I don't know what his plans are, but, like, it'd be a shame if he didn't. I think it's, like, it's a... Yeah.
I mean, through training at AAW, how did you transition across to EPW?
Well, when I started at training at AAW, it was because I wanted to get into EPW, and I couldn't. Because at that time...
I know the feeling.
Yeah. So, at that time, you could only get into EPW by doing a tryout. And the tryouts were, like, once a year. And so I had, like, this idea in my head. I'm keeping in mind I was 16 at the time.
Yep.
I was
did
like,
you fave them about your age? Because that's what I did when I started.
Nah. I know people that started training there when they were 13.
Yeah. So, they were like, Josh, you're 16, aren't you? I'm like, I'm 15 turning 16. I was 14 turning 15.
Yeah.
I was pushing it.
Yeah. Nah, and then... So, yeah, like, it was just a way, like, I thought, you know, I'll learn how to wrestle, I guess. Mm-hmm. And all I really took out of the time that I was there was how to do a nip-up.
How good is your nip-up these days, bud?
Yeah, it's pretty right.
But, see, the best thing about nip-ups is it comes into everyday life. Like, you're at the gym, you finish doing your sit-ups. Probably not sit-ups, because your core's usually just blown. I'm blown, taken home from there on out. You try and do a nip-up, people turn their heads, like, shit, that's like The Rock. The Rock does that.
Yeah, man, like, if you're the one who set a bench, you know, crack out a good set, and then you do a nip-up.
You are not going to nip up off the bench in a gym, are you?
At my gym, actually, I do. I run a gym. And there's sometimes I do, like, some really random stuff upstairs, like rolls and stuff.
But you
like
do
that.
Floor presses, which is different from a bench press, which I was thinking you were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably... It would probably be a good way to get the bar up when I've got stuck, but...
just not choke and die.
Yeah, just not choke and die. But, anyway, so, like... I ended up getting an email back from EPW, and it was like, kid at Christmas, man. Like, I was so ecstatic. And then,
what'd they say?
Well, they just send the email, and they'll, like, fill out this form and email it back or post it back or whatever
fill
it was.
Fill out this form and send your deposit amount of $3,000.
Yeah, that's right. No, it was like, I think it was like $100-something to get stuff, like, to get for the tryout, which, I got a loan from my granddad. I was working, like, weekends, earning, like, $8 an hour, and I said to him, look, give me like a couple of months and then I'll pay you back. And he was like, sure, no worries. And then he paid for like my tryout, and it was 2 days of fucking hell, man. I've never, even now, all these years later, that was in 2008, and all these years later, never had a weekend quite like that.
But it separates the boys from the men.
That's right. We had...
What did you do during the tryout? Just in case there's fans listening to this that aren't aware on what gets put into tryouts, if they're considering it to separate them there.
Well, from memory, they were about 8-hour days. So on a Saturday and a Sunday, rocked up, I think, around about 9, 10 o'clock. And we started off like doing sprints and stuff, which was quite funny because at the time I had no concept of anything like fitness or anything like that. I'd be just was trying to lose weight at the time, just on the treadmill or whatever, you know.
How's that going for you?
Yeah, pretty good. I took a protein shake, thinking that the protein shake was going to give me a good kick, you know. So here I am running as fast as I can, and then there's David Storm, who was like, you know, he's godfather of Australian wrestling, and I had a lot of, you know, I really looked up to him as a fan, and so I was trying to keep up with him, and I was pushing myself really, you know, only 10-15 minutes in, and I fucking started chucking, and I was chucking everywhere.
But you kept going,
yeah. And there was this guy that was there. He was probably about 5'5", 90 kilos, jacked to the gills, big Hulk tattoo on his arm, and he looks at me and he's like, do you have a protein shake? I said, yeah. He goes, bad idea, son. And I'm like, why is that? And he's like, just a bad idea. And like the whole day, I just felt so sick. Oh. But it was really good. Like, so we did the runs, and then it was like a lot of calisthenic stuff, duck walks. Like, I remember coming over here
to train because I felt like I had to prove myself in between New Age wrestling shows and all companies, right? And I think I remember training with you at the time anyway. The Vicey was running the training. Mm-hmm. Muffins ran some of the training. Shane and Mikey was still in Noah for a lot of the time.
Yep.
But that was just hell. But it was so good. And the unity was so good about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up to David Storm a lot like you because I remember being in high school watching the EPW highlights on my iPod. It was the coolest thing ever. And then David Storm over here, I talked to him. I had him on MySpace and Facebook.
Yep.
And then Dave, under his personal account, sends me a friend request. And I was like, oh, we're friends. This is the best thing ever.
Yes. Yeah. It's like when I was like first started training, you know, MySpace was the cool thing.
It is.
And like, so I added like everyone possible, like that was on the EPW roster, and they were all in my top 10. Like, you know, like it was just like, you know, I wanted to be cool, you know, like, you know,
these are my friends.
Yeah, these are my friends. I had like my two best friends were like my one and two, and then everyone else was like EPW wrestlers. And even though like I didn't know any of them really, but yeah, so like the training's like was really tough. Like, we did like sprints and you know, duck walks. Like, the first day we didn't even actually get into the ring, which was like, you know, because
it makes you want it more,
I think so. Well, the reason why is because there was like things like we had punishments. So like, if you know, you didn't wipe your feet before you get into the ring, oh shit, that's a 2K run, you know.
Didn't shake someone's hand.
Yep. And then all of us, like the whole group, would have to go for that run. So you get back, and then sure enough, some
you hate people.
Yep, yeah, yep, for sure, man. Sure enough, some asshole is talking to another person while you're in line. Oh, talking, you're not paying attention. Let's go for a run. So, like, I think we got an hour's worth of ring time, like, out of the 2 days. I remember on the second day, I woke up in the morning and I was so sore, I couldn't move.
How many people made it through?
Well, wrestling today, there's only three of us. Me, Gavin McGavin, and Eddie Bombay. And I think Eddie Bombay is probably kind of toning it down now with wrestling.
Such a unique character, though.
He is, yeah. He's one of the best characters, I mean, I think we have in Perth.
Bombay gives it away with like Bombay patties being like Indian patties. But if you didn't know who Eddie Bombay was, how would you describe Eddie Bombay?
Very Indian.
Very Bollywood?
Yeah, very Bollywood.
Very
yeah.
Bollywood.
Yeah. I don't really know. Yeah, he's like, he commits. Like, he's fully committed to
the drama and the character side so well, and he's just so charismatic. I mean, he's all pushed through, but, like, how long were you at EPW before you tried to venture off? I don't know, maybe into another company in Perth or...
Sure. So, when I debuted, which was on September 11, 2010. At that time, no one could wrestle at any other company. So, like, if you're at EPW, you're an EPW guy.
I respect the exclusivity, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not against it, but once, you know, the wall's been broken, then that's it, you know. It's
break the walls down.
Yeah, that's like, but then not too long after that, about 6 months later, we got told that, you know, we could wrestle elsewhere. And me and he doesn't wrestle anymore, but Leo Pratt. And like, we were like, you know, we want to take the world by storm. We want to do everything we can. Now we can wrestle everywhere. So we just started messaging, you know, the other companies in Perth. It was AAW and NHPW and Schwa. And we were the first people to wrestle at, you know, all the feds in Perth, me and Leo. We did that together, you know, and it was good. It was a really good time, you know, especially when you're young and you're excited and you're hungry, you know. It's something new. And we had like, it was a really good run. Probably we did AAW for about a year, then Leo dropped off, and then I dropped off shortly after.
Yep.
For whatever reason. And then we started doing NHPW shows, then he broke his arm, so he stopped wrestling there. And then but I kept going, and yeah, so now it's like just EPW and Schwa really that I wrestle for. But and like breaking away, you know.
You wrestle for EPW and Schwa mostly, but is that because the industry over in Western Australia and Perth is developing more so, or it's more so hit a stalemate? Because it feels like EPW is constantly progressing with more interstates wanting to come across and more of their homemade talent without having to venture to South Australia to train like back in the heydays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, EPW is definitely becoming a hotspot. This year has been Man, I reckon this is probably the best run EPW has had this year since
to quote mid-2000s. Yeah,
you know?
To quote yourself, when we did the radio this morning, I mean, what was that? 100.9?
Yeah, 100.9 FM, yeah, this morning.
Yeah, I mean, you used to do the radio there, so that helps come full circle. But you were telling them, oh, it's the best card we've had. Oh, it's the best card we have. But you're not lying, because you keep one-upping it.
Every show...
When I say you, I mean EPW.
That's right, yeah. It's like every show this year, like when you, like, you know... building up to like the big shows, when you think that you've had the best card possible, somehow like they're pulling out better matches, bigger matches, and you know, crowds are getting bigger and bigger every single month. It's, you know, it's a really exciting place to be. This year has just been absolutely phenomenal. You know, I think the last you know, 4 or 5 years, I think it was like a bit of a rebuilding stage, you know, because we had a lot of guys that you know, that left, you know, Mike and Shane, they went to Noah, so like, you know, the two top guys, you know, you had Davis Storm retired for a little while, or, you know, took a break, and, you know, FN Carnage took a break. So all these people that had built this company up had left, and it was just trying to build up new starts. So yeah, but yeah, it's been a great year, you know, and
there's been a lot of struggles you guys have overcome, and it's enjoying the overcoming of struggles. That's the enjoyable part anyway.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, how long was it from you starting at EPW until you ventured into another state? Because it was only so long until you had to expand.
Right, so my first interstate dealio was
this the American Psycho Tour?
No.
Okay.
You know what, we were talking about it earlier on today, and I thought it was, but I actually forgot. I wrestled for Prowl in Queensland.
Oh.
I'd been wrestling for just over a year, like a year and a week or something, and... It was good fun. Like, you know, first interstate, I was on the poster, which, you know, I probably had no right to be, but it was pretty cool. Like, it was really exciting, you know. And then, yeah, the American Psycho Tour. Whew.
Explain the American Psycho Tour, because a lot of people won't know what we're talking about here.
Yeah. So, the American Psycho Tour was like it was in Victoria. It was a 3-day gig.
There's a lot of people blaming each other for failures and for lack of communication and for lack of duties being done.
Man, there were some things like coming out of that where I was quite shocked. Like, so anyway, I'll get to that. But so the first day we were in I think Gippsland or somewhere near there, and rocked up pretty much on bell time. First match, straight out there, like music was playing, still getting my gear on, you know.
That's a fear of mine.
Huh? It's the worst feeling. I'm glad I've never had to experience that since. And then, so we had that show, which wasn't too bad. Decent crowd, you know, maybe about 100, 120, it just seems like. Not bad. From what I understand, Gippsland, I mean, it felt like it was forever away, but it's a bit of an out-of-the-way sort of town, I guess. It'd be like kind of Bunbury here in WA. And then the next day, the show was going head-to-head with MCW. And I counted when I was in the ring, 12 people. One of those people was Orlando Jordan, and 4 of those people were his friends. So if he wasn't there, then you've been able to count on one hand, you know, how many people had come to the show. And I was wrestling Ryan Eagles. Huge opportunity to try and get my name out.
That was on a Saturday night, because I remember wrestling him on the Friday night.
That's right, yeah.
And it was just empty then.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ryan did the third show anyway, because he had family commitments for whatever reason.
I know, I think he was his shoulder, because when we wrestled, I knew his shoulder was bothering him. But right as the match started, we had the greatest thing that could ever happen for a wrestler is that the ring broke. The cable underneath the ring snapped, and all the ropes lost all their slack. And we had only just gotten started, you know.
Was this what number match was this?
What was second or third, I believe.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it was pretty early on. We got there, you know, we got to the end, and we turned what, chicken shit into chicken salad, I thought, you know. we did our best.
But
and,
it was called the Psycho Tour because there was Lance Hoyt, the American Psycho from New Japan at the time, and Noah
Well,
now.
Well, at that point, he was the IWGP Tag Champ, so that
and
was
he
like...
he just finished Wrestle Kingdom with 60,000, 65,000 people coming down to a show in front of 4 to 11.
Yeah, so this is the funny part, right? So from my understanding, the third day was done in Wodonga. And the only reason it was done in Wodonga is because he had family in Wodonga. And that's why the show was done there. And when he rocked up into town, he had gone around and asked, like, you know, do you come into the wrestling tonight? Rah. And apparently no one in town, apparently it's a small town. Correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not too sure.
Nope, I've never been there myself. Yep. Is that small?
Yep, so no one knew about it. And we rocked up 2 hours after bell time. The ring hadn't even been set up.
Yeah.
So it was like, we rocked up thinking that the ring was going to be all sort of like set up. And it wasn't. So we had to like rush and get it all set up. And there was like people waiting at the door. People that had left because, you know, you're waiting a couple of hours. That's pretty painful, you know. Cold weather.
If I was waiting 2 hours for a show, I'd probably go home. Whether it was a concert or a wrestling show or a boxing show, it doesn't matter.
This is the thing though, like, so... The overall, like, it was an awesome experience. Like, I got a lot out of it, but the so I was staying with a wrestler called Tony Storm, who, by the way, is doing amazing things, like, internationally. Like, I can't rate Tony enough, you know. And I've known Tony since I went to Queensland in 2011, and just to see how much she's changed is incredible. And you got Tim Cade, and he's doing big things going on.
King of Queensland, pretty much. These days.
King of Queensland. That's right.
Maybe a small pond, but it's still a pond,
that's right. And he's off to Michi Pro, and but like we were staying together, we had a hotel booked out together and whatnot. And then someone came to pick us up, and they're like, we can only take two people, and there's three of us. And so they're the couple. So, like, I was like, well, first of all, I was fucking furious. So I was
like, you're not going to split them up?
Yeah, that's right, you know, because, like, you know, what a dick move that is, you know? Because they'd flown over, you know, to Victoria as well. They had, you know, had to do the exact same thing I did. I just thought it was unfair that, you know, having to split them up. So I was like, well, you guys can go. But I said to the guy, I was like, you know, this is bullshit. You know, with me coming over and, you know, paying my own way and, you know, a bunch of other stuff that I won't get
at
into
happening. Show me that you're grateful for me being here.
Yeah, that's right. And, like, after having a bit of a whinge, Tony and Tim, they were like, well, we're not going to go. And so they said, well, the problem is that Lance has got like 5 or 6 bags, something ridiculous, and it's taking up too much space in the car. And I was like, well, that's not my problem, is it, you know? And so about half an hour later, they sorted something out for us, but they were all crammed into the back of the car. It was like...
Well, Lance has 12 bags.
That's right. Yeah, we had bags on
but
our...
But it's not his fault, because he was told by the promoter, obviously, like, yep. Hey, this is a case, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely, like, yeah. It's like, it's of, you know, no fault of his or whatnot. Like, it's the... Whoever... I don't know who it was, but whoever was doing the organising was just... didn't do the most amazing job. And then, yeah, that drive was actually... It was good little road trip. But, yeah... Then tagged with Lance Hoyt that night, and that was an experience in itself. And
Against Ryan Rollins at the time?
No. So that was me. It was me, Lance Hoyt, and some guy who was local to the area versus
some guy.
Adam Asix.
I don't think any of these guys wrestle anymore. Maybe one or two.
Yeah, I can't even remember who the other guys were. Like, I've never seen him do anything since, so I don't know. I think they were just local kind of guys that, you know, had somehow got the match, and yeah, it was what it was. And but yeah, it was the most full-on 3 days, like, I've ever really experienced.
I mean, I've heard about some of your travel before. Was this before or after you went to Philly?
This is before I went to Philly. Yeah. Philly's so a totally different story.
It only gets topped from here on out, right?
Right. So I went and trained at Chikara and EZW in 2014, and I was there for 2 months. And it was like an awesome, phenomenal 2 months of training.
Life-changing.
Life-changing, yeah. Well, like, my perspective on wrestling had completely changed. And, like, you know, certain things that I didn't understand then, like, I fully understand now. And, like, you know, years later, like, it still comes back to me, like, certain things that I was told that didn't understand, and now I do. But the living situation was less than ideal. I had, like, this apartment, like, booked on Airbnb, and it was
cheap
on the same, because the Chikara's, yeah, it was cheap. It was on the same street as the ECW Arena, which is where the training was, right? Yeah. So I thought, this is ideal. Well, a week beforehand, the guy pulled out because he's like, oh, I have to go to like to the guy's house, the guy who owned it. He's like, I have to go to something or other, so I won't be there. And I'm like, well, that means I pretty much have to buy new accommodation. And on such short notice, it's pretty fucking hard to like try and find something suitable that's, you know, close enough. And well, I went to the mean streets of Philadelphia, and I was in a part of Philly where there's a guy does documentaries called Louis Theroux. He did a documentary on gangs in Philly. Well, where that was being filmed was where I was staying, and I saw I saw some gnarly stuff. Like, so for example, I was living like in this little apartment that was underneath the train pass, and on the corner there used to be this van every day at 10 in the morning and about 11 at night, because that's when I would be there, and surely it would happen through the middle of the day as well, where a girl, she would run out of the car, out of the van, sorry, the back of the van, and then whoever was standing on that corner would then jump into that van, drive off. So obviously, like, the hookers, right? So outside my window, I'm watching, like, hookers getting in and out of, like, vans.
It's kind of working 9 to 5, working class girl.
That's right, yeah, you know, they're working hard. And then,
who was at the dojo at the time, though?
Oh, at Chikara?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had Quack, Mike Quackenbush, yep. We had Chuck Taylor, and Ophidian, so the Cobra. So they were the three that I did my training with.
The Snake, the Kentucky Gentleman, and the Master of Technical Wrestling himself.
It was pretty amazing. But I do have to tell you this story, though. It's a good story. All right, so I went to this Chinese place, right? And, you know, it's pretty legit. If you go in there, it's steel bars. Like, the door's steel bars, bulletproof glass. Like, this is legit, right? So you walk in, on the wall, you've got all your illegal substances, like paraphernalia, like, up on there, you know, on display. And this is a Chinese place. You got mace. You've got, you know, all these sorts of things you can buy while you get your chicken and rice. Like, you know, it was insane.
Convenient.
Yeah. Well, so there's a couple of stories at this place. So the first time I went in and I pulled out my wallet, and this girl, she's like, she was a local in the area, and she's like, y'all from England? I'm like, nah, I'm not from England. She goes, oh, y'all look like you're from England. I said, no. She goes, that pretty wallet you got in your hand? I said, yeah. She goes, you better put that in your pocket. And I went, why is that? She goes, well, look outside. And there was this dude, the meanest dude I've ever seen, looking at, death staring, like, my wallet. So I'm like putting it back into my pocket, you know, like nice and slowly. And she's like, y'all got mace? I said, nah. She goes, I got mace. She pulls out her phone, and on her phone, she's got a diamond encrusted fucking mace can. And on her handbag, she's got 2 cans of mace. She goes, when y'all in this area, y'all need some mace. So she's like,
did you buy mace?
Well, I didn't have enough money because I'm like, you know, I'm a poor wrestler.
Maybe this
in
a sales
another country.
Technique.
Maybe. And yeah, maybe they're all in together, the people who own the restaurant and whatnot. But so she goes, I just can't understand why a nice white boy like you will come into a fucked up place like this. And I'm like, oh, this is not, and this is the first day, like this is my first day. So I'm like, alright, I get my chicken and rice. I take it to my room, and my chicken really didn't taste like chicken. It was definitely white meat.
Yeah.
What the white meat was, I got no clue. But I was hungry, so I ate it anyway. Majority of the rice, I mean, for $4, it was a decent serving.
That's
so
decent. Like,
yeah.
That's $6 Australian. That's not too bad.
That's not... Oh, no, at the time, it was pretty much a dollar for a dollar. It was good times, man.
How good is the $4 chicken quality, though? That's the thing you're asking yourself. If you're paying $4 for chicken
that's right,
you can't be expecting good restaurant
that's
quality.
That's right. There would have been at least a kilo of chicken on there, too. And, like, you did the math in your head.
You can't even get that from a deli, mate.
Right. So, the next day, I go in, and I'm like, all right, after yesterday's experience, maybe I'll try, you know, maybe like a beef satay or, you know, whatever. So I walk in there, and there's this guy. He looks at me. He keeps looking at me, and I'm like, fuck, is this like, this is the end? Like, you know, because he...
In the shop?
He had the full kit, you know, it was something else. And so he comes up to me, and he's like, he goes, y'all look like y'all ain't from here. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not, man. I'm from Australia. He goes, man, I wish I could go to Australia, but I got a criminal conviction. And I went, all okay. He goes, yeah, man, I just got out of jail. And I'm like, cool, man. That's cool. That's great. He's like, yeah. And he started telling me his life story. You know, I used to play basketball, but then I got into drugs and I started pimping. And then, like, you know, I'm like, and I'm standing there and I'm like, you know, cool. Fuck, man, I want to get my food. I want to get out. And I just want to go. Like, mm-hmm. And so he's like, he keeps going on and on and on and on. So I go outside, I'm like, oh, I've got to go back to, like, you know, my apartment, whatever. He's like, well, I'll walk you home. And I'm like, this is the end. You know, I'm saying
maybe
my prayers.
Maybe
maybe I did.
Optimistic, mate.
But this is the thing, right? So we're walking down, and then he started talking about how he had, like, shot people and how he had killed people. Like, he, like, this guy was legit. I should, just to give you a description of the guy, bald with a teardrop tattoo and a cross.
So it means he's killed someone.
Yeah, that's right. This
so
guy's
pimping ain't easy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we're walking down, like, to the thing, and because, like, from the Chinese to my apartment that I was in, it was probably only about 30 meters, so it wasn't that far.
Yep.
And then he stops. He goes, oh, hang on a second. And then he pulls out his doodle and pisses in, like, the middle of the street, like the footpath.
You know what? I respect his confidence.
Oh, fucking 100%. And, you know, what he was packing was down to the ground. So, you know, it's probably why. And I was like, this is my opportunity to go.
I'd be pulling it out if I was packing like that.
Yeah, that's right. So, like, I'm like, all right. And so, like, I started going, all right, I got to go, man. I got to talk to my wife. You know, I don't even have a wife. I got a girlfriend, you know. So, like, I run to the thing and I get the door and my hand's shaking. So, like, I'm like, oh, I gotta get in. Key's not going in. I'm like panicking because I'm like, this guy's gonna fucking kill me. Like, you know, get inside, slam the door. I'm like, oh my god, I can't do this anymore.
Catch up with him.
Yeah, I was like, I can't stay here anymore. I can't stay in this place. Well, 6 weeks later, four weeks later, I'm still at this place. And
training was worth it though.
The training was phenomenal, but I got lucky. A couple of the boys were over for Mania. They had come to Philly to do some training as well for the last few weeks.
Yep.
And then one of them went home early, and so I got to sleep in his sweet little hotel bed, and it was all good from there. So, yeah, it was in a nice part of Philly.
Beautiful.
But, so the training was phenomenal, though. Quack. I remember one time we had, like, this little seminar sort of a dealio where we couldn't use the ring because the ring was getting used for some rock band. We're doing, like, some sort of music video, right? And so we went over to, like, this is the ECW arena. We went into, like, where, you know, people all sort of walk in and whatnot. And this is all going about to get knocked down. But, like, some of, like, the most gnarliest, like, you know, things you'd ever seen in ECW would happen, like, in this spot. And we're sitting down and it's just me, Chuck Taylor, and Ophidian, and Chuck, stepping over myself, and Quackenbush. And Quack just, like, dropped some knowledge, like, you know, just... It's one of those things where, like, half of it I had no understanding, but I wrote it all down. And, you know, after, like, referring back to it all over time, like, you know, the light bulb kind of, you know, turned on, and it all made sense, you know. And that's this year, you know, and that was, you know, a couple of years ago, you know. But
Joey James said it once to me, where it's like he would wrestle Cletus, and one day he just walked out there through the curtain and just hit him, and he felt confident, mm-hmm. and just felt like he was going to work.
Yep.
And it was a job. And yep, cool, yep. I'm here to work. And he worked hard.
Yep.
And Dowie's been working hard since. I mean, this year you've got Thailand soon, and that's a big deal because it's one of the first wrestling events in Thailand properly done.
That's right. They've done a few shows in the past where they've been kind of, you know, smaller crowds and whatnot, but they've spent a good 6 months building up this show in November, and
it's almost sold out already.
Already, yeah. I think it's about 60-70% full, which over two nights, when you're looking just under 1,000 people, it's going to be two good houses, you know, two good shows, and that's in November on the 17th and 18th. Maybe it's the 18th or 19th, either or.
I mean, you've been lucky for now. You haven't had any setbacks or major injuries?
I've had a few, man. Yeah. So when I... Since wrestling, I've separated my shoulder, tore my rotator cuff, broken my foot, and broken my wrist, rather. So, you know... haven't had the best run in terms of injuries, but luckily all of the injuries have been like nothing too serious in terms of like long term. Like nothing really.
No Sid Vicious leg snap incident, something like that.
No, nothing like that, thank God. But like, you know, it's always been off the silliest things. Like I've done some really gnarly things over the years, and you know,
yeah, through BMX riding when you were younger,
yep,
to pro wrestling these,
yep,
days,
you know,
you're
doing 450 to the outside, to doing, you know, springboard hurricanranas, doing like, you know, yeah, doing like diving off ladders, you know, whatever, like all of, you name it, like all the gnarly stuff, I've tried it and none of that's hurt me. But someone goes to give me a suplex, I try and reverse it, I break my foot. You know, it's like when Leo broke his arm many years ago, doing a drop down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for those who don't know what drop down is, you just pretty much lay down like a pancake on the ground.
And you try and trip the guy. Yeah.
Try and trip the guy, yeah. Pretty basic thing. It's one of the first things you learn. And
it's a great reversal if it comes into play, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, he broke his arm doing it. So like, yeah, it's always the really weird, like odd things. Like when I separated my shoulder and tore my rotator cuff, I tripped over someone's foot.
Oh.
Yep, APW title match, yeah.
So, I mean, with this extensive resume, with this career, with a lot of struggles from injuries to, you know, nearly getting shot in Philadelphia, to the ambition to travel to Thailand, which is renowned, mm-hmm, for not being one of the safest in the places in the world, and with somewhat of a reputation of tourists not having the most pleasant time over there. I mean, when are you going to come over east? You've been over there a few times,
through
the Psycho Tour, and recently with OCW.
Yeah, that was great.
As Gen Zero, right?
Yeah, that's right. So me and the Don Michael Morleone went to OCW in, I think it was May.
A few months ago. But
yeah.
Gen Zero isn't just limited to yourself and...
No. There's three of us. There's me, Scotty Ryan, and the Don Michael Morleone. And, you know, we're pretty hell-bent on becoming, like, you know, one of the best tag teams in this country. And, like, I'll say it, like, me and Don as a unit, because Scotty's more of the individual, the singles guy, and me and Don are the more
cohesive unit,
you know?
Yep.
We've been tagging for almost 2 years now. I'll say this, like, we are the best tag team in the country. We're the only true tag team in this country.
And through unity you got and experience,
yep,
together, you guys have developed as a team, and that's what,
yep,
it's all about there. Tag team, being the key word.
When we found out we were going to become a cat tag team, we didn't want to be a throwaway tag team. We weren't going to be just another two singles guys who got thrown together. We didn't want it to be anything like that. We're like, if we're going to become, like, you know, a tag team, we're going to be the best.
Is that a standout moment then, becoming a tag team with the Don?
Yes. The Don's been wrestling for, you know, 13 years, so he's got a lot
underrated
of experience. Very underrated.
Yep.
And the things that I've learned from him over the last couple of years have just been absolutely, mm-hmm, phenomenal. Like, you know, but we both see wrestling the exact same. And when you're with someone who is exactly on the same page as you, then that's a good thing. Because,
hearing the stories, yeah, of the early days of the Rockers, Sean and Marty, they had that same mindset, whether, mm-hmm, they would grab action figures and come up with sequences and collective moves they could do together,
yep,
or the way they structured their matches, or the way they had their style or wanted to dress as a team.
Yep.
That's what made them,
that's
one,
right,
of the best tag,
yep,
teams.
We have, you know, like, the first thing we're like, all right, obviously matching gear has to be done. Right, we wanted to get jackets, matching custom jackets, done. We're like, all right, everyone does the same thing, you know, like tag teams always do the same sort of thing. We're like, all right, we're going to invent moves, and we've almost all of our offense, everything that we like, all our offense is all unique to us, because we want to be separate. We want to separate ourselves from the pack, you know.
I guess the goal would be to demonstrate this across the country from,
absolutely,
coast to coast, and just to take on every and all tag team. I mean,
that's right,
through briefly at OCW, hopefully MCW aligns in the near future. Platinum Wrestling,
yep,
as I'm a tag champ. Hey mate, I'll take you one.
Yeah,
good,
I'd
old
love
Pitbull
to.
But even if it comes down to Warzone Wrestling, Newcastle Pro, because they've got a strong tag team division,
mm-hmm,
with the Four Nations, you go up to Queensland again and do a bit of a stint up there with,
yep,
AWA, in my opinion, is the best company going in Queensland at the moment.
Absolutely, you know, and
yeah, props to Jesse for all the hard work that is paying off.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I've wrestled for a few places in Queensland,
as we know, yeah,
and I would say that AWA, from what I've seen, is by far the top federation over there. Mm-hmm. And if you're a wrestler in Queensland, you don't aspire to try and be a part of AWA. You need to stop wrestling.
Because, I mean, you aspire to get to EPW, knowing it was known as being the cream of the crop. Whether it is or isn't, it's up to collective opinions.
Yep.
But it's the cream of the crop over here, in your opinion, so that's why you aspired to get there.
That's right, And look, like, you're right too, what you're saying before, you know, we want to expand, we want to go interstate. The first stop was, you know, taking on the OCW tag champs at the time, which was Dowie James and JXT, and like, obviously we didn't walk away with the titles or anything like that, but we had a very impressive showing. The amount of, like, the response that we got of people wanting us to come back was, you know, I was actually taken by surprise, only because I didn't realise how passionate the fans in Melbourne are. Like, they are very vocal and very passionate, and you know,
if there was a booker, a promoter, a fan that wanted to reach out to you, get you in contact, if a fan wanted to tell a promoter, hey, listen, or message a promotion, hey, listen, I really want to see Hayden Zenith wrestle in my state, I've seen him before, he's impressive, how can they find you?
Well, they can find me on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/HaydenZenith, or you know, just search it. Twitter at Hayden Zenith, Instagram Hayden Zenith.
So it's all pretty much Hayden Zenith.
It's all pretty much a Hayden Zenith. I try and keep it all the same.
Hayden Zenith is quite a unique name, also.
Yes, I think so. It's different. But yeah, like, look, if you want to get hold of us in, or if you want to get us via email, just go in contact with me directly at HaydenZenith@outlook.com.
I'm happy to forward on any email inquiries if anyone hits us up. But as we are wrapping this up, and I was getting out all your plugs, I mean, you've got great merchandise at the moment. People can see on your social media. I'm going to go a quick fire round of questions, and you got to make a few choices anyway. So it's as simple as red versus blue.
Red.
Batman, Superman.
Superman.
Cena, The Rock.
Cena.
HBK versus Bret Hart.
HBK.
Hogan versus Piper.
Piper.
Captain America versus Iron Man.
Captain America.
Peanut butter smooth versus peanut butter crunchy.
Oh man, that's a difficult one. The amount of peanut butter I eat, I would say smooth. Smooth goes down easy.
Now, as you are a man that would appreciate the female body in many aspects, are you a bootylicious butt man, or are you an aspiring assets of a boob man?
I think there needs to be a decent ratio, that's for sure. Big butts are alright. I mean, squats you have to earn. That's right, yeah. That means there's a lot of dedication there, which I guess is admirable, you know? Yeah, of course, So I'll go with butts, but boobs aren't that bad either. Like, big boobs are nice.
Now, to quote Shakespeare here, to flip or not to flip?
What do you reckon?
Well, to flip.
I'm the king of flip style, so
mate,
flip.
Mate, I'm a heavyweight. I don't do this. Enzo versus Cass.
Your boy Enzo.
Storm versus Marcus Pitt versus Logan Gray. Predictions for tonight's main event.
Logan Gray is amazing, and I really hope he walks away with the title tonight. Even though that we're not ideally, you know, best buddies or anything. I reckon he's going to win tonight.
WCW versus WWE versus ECW.
What year? Or just in general?
In general.
I'd say WWF, only because they're still around.
Steiners versus Harlem Heat.
Harlem Heat.
Josh the Axe Shooter versus Hayden Zenith. Or is that to be determined?
I'll say the Axe, just because you're here.
Yeah, love that. Wait till I leave the room and start talking shit about me, mate.
That's right.
Beautiful. Now, being sent in by a fan email here, I need to touch base on Biff from Back to the Future. Why have I been asked to inquire about Biff from Back to the Future?
All right, so my character that I do, and a lot of the mannerisms, I've taken a lot of from Back to the Future, and the best character in all movies, the best villain, is Biff. Like, Biff is just
heel.
He is a heel. In every movie, he is the heel. And
you're not wrong.
And I mean, like, Back to the Future is my favorite movie growing up, and
Favorite movie of Mike Burris as well.
Oh really? Alright, we've got something to talk about then.
He has a son named Emmett.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, my son's Emmett. Emmett Lloyd. Christopher Lloyd's the actor.
Outstanding. You better listen to this, Mike. Yep. I think Mike listens to this as the Axe Cards are part of Wrestle Radio Australia. Now, you being a hometown boy, I don't want you to take sides here.
Yep.
Completely open to interpretation, but Wrestle Radio Australia is very much the Australian version of MLW, where we
have healing out with Muhammad Ali Vaez.
Yep.
We have Josh Armour. We have Todd Eastman and myself on the hashtag XCast because I don't have a Facebook page, right? So I just hashtag XCast. Versus Drawing Heat, which seems to be the WA version that's supported by Australian Indie Wrestling, thanks to Tez and a few other guys that like to support the page there. Mm-hmm. If you had to choose one, Drawing Heat versus Wrestle Radio Australia, gun to your head.
Alright, if you want to know more about Perth wrestling, Drawing Heat's the place to go.
Okay, so new fans in East are wanting to tune in to what's happening in West, and vice versa, is what you're saying.
That's right, yeah. I mean, if you want to know more about what's going on over East, 100%, follow everything that's going on with Wrestle Radio Australia. But if you want to know what's going on here in Perth and hear about all the amazing things that are happening here, Drawing Heat's the place to be.
Perfect. We're wrapping it up anyway.
Yep, no worries.
Thanks for being here, Hayden said. Oh, no problem. My pleasure. Thanks for having me. No worries, man. Yeah, default media trained response at 101, but nonetheless, we're outside the Body Slam Central at the Cyril Jackson Recreational Centre.
Opposite a beautiful cricket park.
Opposite a beautiful cricket park. On a park bench, enjoying the cold breeze at the moment. Very cold, very chilly. Before we go in there, get changed and take on tonight's action.
Yeah.
Beautiful. We'll see you out there.
Yeah, no worries. See you then. Bye.
Whoever does your video packages at Riot City, fucking somebody buy that, buy a car or a dinner or buy them something, because they're fucking awesome.